1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Here at the beginning of his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul makes an emphasis upon the preaching of the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And he continues that emphasis in the next chapter, in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why was that, Paul? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why should we make a repeated emphasis on the cross? We make that repeated emphasis each time we observe the Lord's table. What's the point, though? We're not repeating the message for you as a believer because you don't know it. We're not repeating the message of the cross because you need to be saved again. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 6, there is an argument that we should continue on leaving the foundation, the first things. So this morning, I'd like us to see how important it is for us to constantly glory in the cross. It is fit and it is right for genuine believers to have an ongoing or a renewed interest in the cross and its preaching. And in seeking to answer that question, why are we doing this? Why should we make a repeated emphasis on the cross? I'd like to suggest three scriptural answers. Why it is important for us to make this emphasis. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? And let's ask that the Lord would minister to us. Our dear Father, we praise you that the apostle recorded how he did not come with excellency of speech. He did not come with enticing words, but it does say that he came in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Lord, we long for your working. I know that part of that can be misleading. We would want things for a wrong reason, for sensationalism, or so that we can see something. But I pray, Lord, that as there is a right and an appropriate desire to have a reviving and a vibrancy about our relationship with you and for us to glory in the cross, I pray that you would use the scriptures today to minister to us. For us who are believers, for us who know these things, would you please help us and illuminate us that we might see them afresh. We ask you for these things in the name of your Son. Amen. So the first answer is a negative. And if you're still in 1 Corinthians, go back, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. And you'll see there that the preaching of the cross is evaluated in different ways by different groups. So to those who are perish, to those that perish, it's foolishness. And so my first answer to the question, why is it important for us to make this repeated emphasis, is because it is not what the marketplace wants. On Saturday, I needed to buy a piece of wood. So I'm looking for a board that's 12 inches wide. If I buy kiln dried wood that's 12 inches wide, I'll need to get another mortgage. But everybody is facing the same problem. They want air-dried 12-inch boards too, so there are none left. But I know a guy who has his own mill in Eaglehead, and so I hadn't seen him for a while, and he said, I've got some boards. So I went, and I discovered that he has discovered Facebook Marketplace. And he was telling me that, well, after you've gone, I've got five more people coming today. So he has a shed on his land that is from first floor to lean-to to the top story. It's just tapped to the gunnels of treasures that people on Facebook Marketplace want. They want wood planers. They want special kinds of wrenches. They want jacks. They want scaffolding. And he said that over the past, I think he said 3 or 4 months since he found Facebook Marketplace, he has sold $26,000 worth. So it really is an Aladdin's cave. You need to see the thing to appreciate it. And someone at some point thought that that's what we need to do with the church. We need to find out what people in our community want, and for us as a church to adapt what we do to give it to them. And so they came up with the idea, the church marketing. So if the church want, if the community wants social programs, the church develops social programs. If the community emphasizes inclusivity, then the church needs to put up signs and to have inclusivity as one of the things that it promotes. If the community around us wants entertainment and they want a little lift on a Sunday, then we need to give them entertainment and a little lift. We are working on the principle that the church is providing a commodity. And so if you look in chapter 1, verse 22, so we're still working on the context here, you'll see what the marketplace wanted from the apostles' ministry. It tells us that they wanted different things. There were some who wanted signs, and there were some who wanted wisdom. But Paul is saying that his ministry was not driven by the marketplace of human wisdom or the religious desire for signs. He even tells us in chapter 2 that he wasn't coming with clever arguments or interesting stories to help nice people who are essentially good reform and work harder, become more sincere. He didn't come bringing a cross that was an additive. He brought the message of a dying Savior, and a dying Savior is the power of God. That no one may boast, that the one who glories would glory in the Lord. He doesn't come saying, well, God will look on your star qualities and your social clout and your skills and your niceness. And if you want the cross, well, that'll just be a little additive. That's not the message that he brought. So it's important that we have this repeated emphasis out of our dependence upon God's direction, his power and ministry for his glory, not what people around us want. Secondly, a second reason why it's important for us to have this repeated emphasis. Why do this? You're a Christian. You know what the cross is about. The second reason is for the centrality of the gospel. Excuse me, let me start that again. The centrality of the cross for the gospel ministry. We need this repeated emphasis because of the centrality of the cross for the gospel ministry. How can God, how can a righteous God stay righteous and yet justify the sinner? How can God save sinners, wash them from their sins without encouraging them to continue in sin? The answer is the cross. The cross does two things. The cross shows us the seriousness of sin. We sang right before the message the song by Philip Bliss, the one that begins, "Man of Sorrows, what a name." The one that says, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood." We read in our Gospels the details of those who slapped the Lord Jesus in the face. We read in the Gospels the details of those who plucked off his beard, who took the skin from his back with the whip, who nailed him, who pierced his side. But they are only the human actors. He was there bearing in himself the penalty of my sins. We see the human agents, but it was the Father who wounded him for my transgressions. It was the Father who bruised him for my iniquities. It was the Father who chastened him. The Father who was taking stripes off him, because the Father was laying on him the iniquity of us all. The cross is absolute and central to the gospel. God is the judge of all. Nobody likes to hear that there is a judge who sees them for what they are, who knows their thoughts afar off, who sees them in spite of their efforts and in spite of their niceness, who sees them right at their heart. And for him, all without exception, he says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. In a few verses later, in verse 12, there is none good. In a few verses later, it says, without exception, all have come short of the glory of God. That righteousness that he requires, that righteousness of life that reflects the glory of the one living, the one eternal, unmade, unending Lord, the creator of all, the one against whom I have sinned. He is the judge. And the cross shows the seriousness of sin. The Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. But secondly, the cross also shows the wonder of saving grace, the saving, regenerating, life-giving, life-converting, peacemaking power in the cross of Christ is a gift of grace. That salvation is received by faith. Faith, my faith, while it is my responsibility, it is not a work that sets me above others or makes me better to boast. It is not my part that I contribute to salvation. While it is my responsibility, it is simply the channel that joins me to Christ's fountain. The work, the credit, the glory is all of God. And again, you see the apostle emphasizing this in chapter 1, verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Without the cross, there is no gospel. The reason it's important for us to emphasize it, repeat it, even to do this when we observe the Lord's table, is because it is the only message that saves sinners. This is the only salvation from sin for sinners under judgment. Christ crucified is the only way. The only atoning sacrifice that answers the offense of my sin, the only one who could suffer its penalty, the righteous for the unrighteous. The gospel is not a message of reform, it is a message of redemption. And there is a third reason why it's important for us to emphasize it, and this is especially important for you as a believer. You know the cross. You know about it. You've put your trust in it. For you, it is not foolishness. For you, it is the power of God. But it is still necessary for you as a believer. That's the third reason. It's necessary for you. So we just read from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. If you like to turn to the next book in your Bible, 2 Corinthians is actually the third letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And even then now to believers, he is bringing the believers' minds back to the cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, he tells us that here is the incentive, here is the driving force for believers to live for him. Here is the stirring action, the divine compulsion. In verse 14 it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The reason it is important for us as believers to have this repeated emphasis is the incentive to live for him. Because he did this for me, this is now my drive to live for him, not unto myself. Number two, a second part to this, is in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. So there are particular doctrinal issues going on in Galatia. And so Paul is particularly concerned that they would not lapse back into self-effort. And so he reminds them that the cross was evidently set forth before them. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? While this is a particular case in history at Galatia, there is an ongoing need for you and me as believers to look again and again at the foundation of my relationship with the Lord. My standing with God is not by my self-effort. It is not by my trying to live now as an obedient believer. It is not by my self-righteousness. I'm born of God, indwelt by the Spirit, awaiting the fulfillment of my adoption and glorification. These are the gift of God by grace in Christ. Would you not say? Would you not sing? Would you not even shout, my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign, my gracious Redeemer, my Saviour thou art, if ever I love thee. Trying to work this life on your own, trying to live this life in your own efforts, bringing our attention back to the cross means I'm bringing myself back to live this life in pursuit of God, to live in dependence now in Him, in the one Paul, by his own testimony, says, the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My living as a believer is marked by the cross. My confidence of entering into God's presence as a believer every time I come to pray is through the blood of His cross. No accusation can ever disinherit me from what God has given me in my Savior. Romans chapter 8. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen from the dead. So we come again today to the message of the cross, not because of tradition. Well, it's the first Sunday of the month, tradition. No, because it's essential. It's essential because of its centrality to the gospel. There's no good news apart from it. Good news, good news, Christ died for me. And it is essential because of its necessity to provoke you to live for Him who died for you. Not to live for yourself, but unto Him. Would you bow with me in prayer, please?